Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it breaks your heart. It's designed to break your heart.
He's got room. He makes the play. And the Yankees have eliminated the Red Sox.
The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again.
Bregman hits his first Fenway homer.
And it blossoms in the summer. Filling the afternoons and evenings, and then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops.
We didn't play defense. The pop-up drops, he's a double, then we walk. It just didn't happen for us tonight.
You count on it, rely on it to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive.
Abreu scores! Roman Anthony's first walk-off hit!
And then just when the days are all twilight, when you need it the most, it stops.
Check swung on, and he went around. He's gone.
And the inning is over. Well, for the Red Sox tonight, this 2025 season that thrilled us so much.
Narvaez, a wall ball, and the Red Sox win it.
While sad, it is wonderful to look back on all the great memories.
The Red Sox are going to the playoffs! Say down! Say hello to October!
That we shared together.
And a team that all year long dug deep, found ways to answer back. Tonight just came up a little short.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well done, Dan Ball. Well done, boys. Whatever the opposite of running through a brick wall after hearing a montage, that's what we're left with after that. Reality check at Yankee Stadium last night, because your Boston Red Sox were shut out. Fall 4-0, become the first team in the history of baseball to win game one of a three-game wild card series and not win the series. And it was nothing special. It was much of what made them a maddening team at various points during the season. Too many strikeouts, not enough hits, not enough defense, and you go home. And the damn Yankees, those damn Yankees who didn't even play that well, it's not like they were hitting bombs out of the ballpark, they get to go on to Toronto because Cam Schlittler was awesome. One of the great postseason performances by any pitcher. I don't care how old you are or where you're from or who you're DMing after the game. That was an all-time great performance by Cam Schlittler, Walpole's own. Nick Fitzy Stevens, former Boston fan Fitzy picked the Yankees. Fitzy was right. The Red Sox had no chance last night. Things got so bad I had to have Miller Lite and ice cream to get myself through that game, Fitzy.
I would not have wanted to have been your facilities last night and or this morning if you were double Schlittling you were last night. Look, it does bear saying. It brought me no joy picking the Yankees last night. And I just want to ask one question to everybody that was critical of people like us that were critical of the Red Sox in game two. Are you happy they didn't send Eaton now?
That's why you send Eaton right there.
That's why, because you do not have the margin. You do not have the room. You need to take chances. You can't just play safe. You can't play not to lose. That is precisely how a team that is a three-legged dog, that is a car that is driving through the check engine light with bad motor oil, needs to play. You have to get home. You have to play to win the game. It is such a bummer. Yes, Schlittler was incredible last night. Walpole's own. Side note, can we stop with the geo-shaming of the Schlittler family? Like, oh, he said he's from Boston. He's from Walpole. That's 18 miles outside of Boston. If you're in Seattle and somebody asks, where are you from? Are you going to say Walpole, Mass? Nobody's going to give a Cam Schlittler where you're from. You just say Boston because it's easy and convenient enough geographically speaking. But for the love of God, he pitched great. Your Boston Red Sox, Andy, contributed as much to that loss last night as the Yankees did take it from them.
Yeah, the defense was maddening yet again. And I give our guy Alex Cora credit. He was on point when he took Connolly early out, and then he did his on-field interview. So much so that I thought that Ravitch in the booth tried to almost backtrack for him. That's not your job. I think he said what he wanted to say. The defense was not good. That quote-unquote double, and I'm putting that in quotes, that double to center field, Rafaela, he's supposed to be maybe the best Red Sox center fielder we've ever seen. Is that fair, Fitzy? Is that the
Metrics say that he's the best defensive center fielder in the game right now.
So what would you say happened there? Why didn't you catch that? He took a terrible route to the ball. I didn't think he was urgent. I actually thought he was running in fear. I think the play from the other night where Abreu came in at hot and bothered, and I think there was a little fear. He was like a receiver going over the middle, and Rodney Harrison was playing safety. He's like, yeah, I'm not really going to go full speed or stick my arms all the way out. Yes, damn ball.
What happened to the two guys that combined to rob a home run in Detroit? There were chemistry between those two at some point, but maybe it was the injury and Abreu missing time, but they were not seemingly talking to each other at all this
or
series.
Pressure, environment, atmosphere.
Could be that as well.
I don't know. You certainly did not get the bounce back game that many were hoping for slash predicting from Jarren Duran. He couldn't hit. He struck out and it didn't really matter. And maybe he has an out because the guy who hit the ball thought it was a home run too, Giancarlo Stanton. But don't tell me Duran went after that ball like he was going to catch it or even get it into the infield quickly. It hit.
No.
And then he was like, oh man, did that just hit the wall? I should probably get my ass over there and throw the ball in the same
way. That was a give up home run trot, Andy.
Well, and that's why I give him just an ounce of out because so did Stanton. Stanton was yelling, screaming, pointing at the dugout, and then all of a sudden had to get his ass in fifth gear to get to second base. That ball, I just wonder if there was a weird win trajectory. When you see the batter and a decent outfielder both get fooled so badly, I wonder if that was a weird one-off situation. But whatever, you can't let that happen. That's a perfect example to kids. Get your ass out there and get that baseball. Red Sox lose 4-0. It's a Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons. We will get into the loss. We'll get into the season. Was it a success? Was it a failure? Where is it going? Who do you blame? All that and more next on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we're going to talk to Jeremy Springer, the special teams coordinator of your New England Patriots, a week after Marcus Jones was the best special teams player in football. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and early on, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday from our beautiful Brighton studios powered by Verizon. The morning after the season that was for your Boston Red Sox, lose 4-0 in New York, Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to have our weekly conversation with one of the Patriots coordinators. This week, it is Jeremy Springer, the special teams coordinator, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Coach Springer, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
We are great, other than the Red Sox loss, but we don't need to get into that. The Patriots win, Marcus Jones. Yeah. You know, let's get into the good stuff. It's probably fun to be the special teams coordinator and have Marcus Jones returning punts. Is that safe to say?
Man, I think if you're any coach, any special teams coordinator, when you have the thing, if you have good specialists and you have good returner, it makes your life so much better and easier. And then on top of that, they're all great human beings. Like Marcus is like the best dude ever. Like he's just a great guy. So it's very easy to coach him. To be honest, I don't coach him much because he's such a pro's pro that he kind of handles his business and he does what he does. And there's a reason why he's a captain on the team.
So, Jeremy, obviously you're a big energy guy, and that's a high-energy special teams unit you have there. Wanted to ask you, what does it mean to you personally and as a coach to see your special teams be the spark to basically not just lead a turnaround but inspire a victory? Because Pats came out a little flat last Sunday. Defense gave up the early touchdown. I think fans were a little restless. Then all of a sudden, Marcus goes 88 yards for the touchdown. Complete turnaround. You guys put the Panthers in your rear view. What does that mean to you to have the special teams be the catalyst for a win like that?
I really think, man, that speaks to the culture of the team. I think it speaks to the locker room. The guys have bought in, and Coach Rabel's done an amazing job of keeping that buy-in, not just on offense and defense, but on special teams. So we all know on special teams in this organization that it's one play at a time. We get one play to do it. And the guys truly, truly believe that. I think you saw it in the Miami game where we gave up a huge critical play and a punt return for a touchdown. And the next play, the guys came together and they were like, you know what, we got this one play to do it right. And they go for kickoff return for a touchdown, right? So it's those guys that are just doing all the work and just believing themselves and going out there and executing. So at the end of the day, you know, for me, it's gratifying to see those guys put in the work and really believe in themselves. And, again, we're only four games in the state season. There's a lot more football to play. I think there's a lot more football we can be better at without a doubt. I just hope our guys continue to believe in themselves and they're ready to go out there and execute. And just know it's one play at a time for us. One play perfection. It's our chance to help the offense and defense out, create positive momentum, flip the field. And that's what our job is. And everyone has a role on this team. And again, go out there, execute your job, and it's going to do good things for offense and defense. And I couldn't be more proud that whenever guys do that, for it to come to fruition.
Jeremy, getting back to Marcus's first punt return, because he had two huge ones, probably should have had two touchdowns. Yeah. We talked to him on Monday, and we kind of gave him a hard time about letting the punter take him down there.
Yeah.
Did you say good?
I'm glad you guys did. I'm glad. He deserves that. He needs us to have two touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, that could have really been something special, but that was my question. What makes him so special? Because, you know, we're used to the sort of jitterbug punt returners, guys that are quick and can make people miss, but he seems to break more tackles than the average punt returner, certainly punt returner of his size. So is that part of what makes him so great? Why is he so good?
He has a ridiculous, you know, natural instinct sense of like setting his blocks up very, very well. Like he knows exactly what steps to take, how many steps to take before he can go, you know, bounce it to the right, bounce to the left, or just get vertical. And he sets himself up so well for his blocks. And then when the guy's got to make tackles, he's a short, stocky body type that, man, he's just it's so hard to bring him down with arm tackles. It just really is. He's like a small version of a Darren Sproles-ish where it's just hard to tackle him. He's got good feet. And his vision, like I said, I just think his ability to set his blocks up is what's so good. And then the decision-making, right? Like, he knows when to return. He knows when to not return. And it's just – he just got a good feel for it. Like, in that punt return for a touchdown, I mean, we're basically in safe defense, and he's been able to make two guys miss and just kind of slingshot his way around to the wall. And it's just a spectacular skill set that he has. It's unmatched, man. And like I said, as a coach – it's nothing I do. It's really that he's just so good at what he does that it just makes our job so much easier.
So we're now four games into the season, about a quarter of the way through the season, and this is the second season it's been implemented. How do you feel about the new dynamic kickoff in the NFL? Are you a fan of it at this point? It definitely has changed the game in a lot of ways, yeah. And obviously it takes constant adjusting because one team like Carolina kicks those knucklers and other people kick it to the front and the back. It's like it's really deceptively tricky.
Yeah, it is, man. And I think you kind of nailed it. It's an adjustment week to week. And I thought last year, you know, you would learn a lot. But remember, you know what 30% of six were covered. So you really didn't get a whole lot like you thought you would have. Like you could, it could be very basic. We were on kickoff and be just fine. But now you're going into game five. We're already covered more than we did last year already. So you're just seeing like how do you adjust in game and moving guys around and having to get guys free or the directional kicks, the dirty ball. It's a lot to kind of digest. And I think we're still in that phase of every week's a new week. What's the league doing? What are we doing? How can we get better week to week? How we teach our guys to be better at angles and defeating blocks. It's a constant adjustment. So I like it in the sense that it's making us be critical thinkers a lot more, especially in coaches. I'm having to like critically think about what decisions I'm making, how I'm coaching these guys, and what our game plans look like week to week. But it's a constant adjustment, man. So it's made the game more exciting, I think, for us. And I think it's put more plays in our hand as special team coordinators and on our special team unit. So it brings the importance of that play for us even more. So you know what? For us, it's a positive, right, all around at the end of the day.
Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer here on a Patriots Friday on WEEI Afternoons. You didn't get a lot of chances, but we talked a lot leading into the game about that knuckleball that Carolina had, and their numbers were ridiculous. Wondering, A, how you thought your team did with that in its limited opportunities, and B, how do you practice something like that? If it's very specific style that the other kicker has, I'm guessing you don't necessarily have somebody, or can you get the jugs gun to do a knuckleball kickoff? Like, how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, so I thought, you know, we had the penalty on the first one. We returned out the second half. We got to the 40-yard line, so I was very pleased at how we blocked it up. We just got to be penalty-free, and that's one of the big things we've been trying to focus on. The second one, we got past the 30. I felt really good about our plan, and after watching the game, I felt really good about our plan. Now, to practice it, the jugs machine, we've got it filtered in a way where it can shoot those kind of dirty balls. And then our kicker kicks dirty balls too, you know. And so we had him do it throughout the week, and it helped us out. Now, the specific type that he hits, that's the issue you run into week to week, because every kicker right now, it's like their own club. So it's a different spin on it. It's a different looking ball. So you're not necessarily going to get the same exact kick, but you're going to get a type of ball where the running backs or your returners have to adjust to it and have to communicate and work that part of it, which you get a lot out of that. It's just that when it comes to Sunday, man, it's like that's the style that that kid has, and if we don't have it, it's going to be hard to replicate that, but we can get some of the communication part out of it.
Jeremy, you talk about Marcus Jones being like the greatest guy, such a terrific person as well, and you know we all know what a great guy Brandon Schooler is, and I'm just curious, you know, to forge like the bond and the brotherhood that a special teams unit, any sports team has to be. How much do you value character in addition to, you know, actual athletic ability when you're putting together your special teams unit?
Well, I mean, if you know anything about special teams, you got to have great character to be a core guy on it, right? Because at the end of the day, right, like if I'm a linebacker, I want to start at linebacker. If I'm a safety, I want to start at safety. So to put all your chips in and be a core guy and believe in it, you have to have a high character because you know that you might not get talked about as much on TV or the radio or get paid like some of those other guys do, but your job is essential to us winning the game. So I think you got to have high character to be a core guy, and I feel like we got a bunch of those guys. You know, you mentioned those two guys, the guys like Jack Gibbons. You know, we got Elijah Ponder, Del Pettis, Charles Woods. You know, all these guys, whatever role they have right now, Anthony Jennings, they're coming in and they're owning that role. Marte Mapu. I mean, I can't say enough about those guys. I just, hey, believe in that. You know, you've already seen it, like, come to fruition. Like, we can be the team that we make a critical mistake and it can lose a game, but we can also be the team that sparks the plug and can help our offense defense, get them rolling. And when those guys believe in it, it makes it special. But those guys are all high-character guys, and I couldn't be more proud to be a part of it. I know we're early in the season right now, and every game's a new game. I mean, to me, it's like, all right, last week was last week, bro, but in this game, man, it can humble you quick. You can be on top of the pedestal, and then 1 week you can be on the bottom. So don't ride the roller coaster. Stay steady. Continue to prepare and do the best we can to help our offense defense. That's what we're trying to do on special teams.
Jeremy, heading into a big game in Buffalo on Sunday night, that's a little older school stadium, so I got a little two-part question. A, primetime game, great crowd and energy. Is that a factor in the kicking game? And is there anything unique to Highmark Stadium as an older stadium style that challenges you or you have to deal with this week?
I would say this, you know, because it is a, you know, primetime game, you don't have to do any more than the guys are going to be juiced and ready to go. So making sure that we have a good game plan that they know very well and they understand it so that if it does get noisier, things are get a little rowdy, that, you know, we don't have to get rattled by that. Having a good game plan is going to be essential there. In terms of the stadium, now you're in Orchard Park. So it might say 70 and nice on Sunday night, but it could be very windy. So that stadium presents a lot of challenges from a weather standpoint, from the wind, especially since it probably won't be raining or won't be cold or raining, snowing. The wind is always going to be a factor in that stadium. So pregame is going to be essential for us figuring out what our game plan is, how they're probably going to attack us with the wind, and making sure we feel good about that heading to the game.
Could be the last time you play there. I'm not going to say most definitely is the last time that you're going to play there, because you never know what could happen come postseason as well. They got that fancy new facility you'll get a firsthand look at right across the street as well. And also, you know, I've watched a couple of Bills games. You never know. You may have to watch for some unique flying objects coming out of the stands from the fans as well.
It's a rowdy. No doubt, man. I love that kind of stuff. It's fun to see that stuff, though. It's fun to be part of.
Yeah, it's a rowdy crowd for sure. What challenges does Buffalo present to you, special teams wise? Obviously, good kicker. They seem to have speed, discipline, and fundamental tackling all the way around.
That you said, you nailed it right there. Like, they're a sound football team. I think Chris Tabor, who's the special teams coordinator there, does a phenomenal job. I mean, the only reason you coach for so long in this league is if you're consistent, you're really good, and he does a phenomenal job. They're putting his guys in the places they really need to be and where they're going to activate their best strengths as a player. So this is going to be a big challenge, man. This team is good. Obviously, they're 4-0 for a reason. They got a dynamic offensive defense, and on special teams, they're very solid. So it's going to be a challenge for us. We got to go do our job, and we got to win one-on-one matchups. We got to, again, take care of the football and do everything we can to win the field position battle and create positive momentum for the team. And I think our guys will be juiced up, ready to go, who wouldn't be on a Sunday night football game there. And we got to go there and execute.
Before we let you go, I need to reference something from the first Marcus Jones punt return that resonated maybe more with me than others did, but I'm guessing you went over it in film. Tonga was leading the way, and he looked like at about the 40-yard line, he put his fist in the air and started celebrating. He knew that Marcus had made the punter miss and was gone. Did you highlight that? What'd you think of that celebration by your big defensive lineman?
I love it, man. Those guys, they were working their tail off, man. And for those guys to go see a punt return for a touchdown on that unit right there, it's always good to see, man, to have those guys get a feel for, hey, I helped out. I had a part in that punt return. And that's what we always tell our guys. Like, you don't know the 25 back there. When 25 back there, whether I'm on the defensive safe team, I'm on punt return, just do your job. And we just don't know when it's going to happen, because that guy can take it at any moment. So just don't let up. Finish longer than the guy with the ball, and the rest will take care of itself.
All right, Coach, good luck on Sunday night in Buffalo, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, brother. You guys have a good rest of your day, okay?
You too. See you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That was Patriots special teams coach Jeremy Springer here on W.
Guy.
Love him, too. Love him,
love
too.
This guy.
And that didn't get enough play, I don't think, that the first punt return for a touchdown was in punt safe, which if people don't really know, that means you basically have your defense on the field because you're worried about a fake or situation or something. So you don't even have your best blockers and athletes and the way you want to deal with it on the field. And I think the reason Tonga was near midfield is because he never got back. You know, linebackers drop back to block and then they come back up the field. My guess is Tonga was just at the line of scrimmage and was like, oh, yeah, great job, Marcus. Let's go. Puts his fist in the air. And that's even worse, right? That's even worse if you're the opposition. If you're the Panthers, you're like, that was punt safe. They weren't trying to return it, and they returned it to kill us right there. That was a fun play.
Oh, it was a great play. And it really was the spark that began the 100%. Turnaround. And then it just begat utter dominance from the Patriots the rest of the way. But did it surprise you at all that when you were looking for a spark, like, I didn't think it was necessarily going to come from a broken run. There's no real established deep threat yet. Marcus Jones is the most dynamic and the most dangerous offensive player or person that could put the ball in his hands. And Jeremy Springer is literally Mr. Energy. So I'm so happy for them that they played such an integral part in that win.
Agreed. And you may need the Bills to be dumb enough to punt the ball to Marcus Jones this week. Obviously,
they
it's a huge game in Buffalo. You know, looking at some of the numbers with the Bills, especially offensively, just top five in everything. Number one in a lot of things in terms of giveaways or a lot of those EPA run, EPA drop back, first. Like, this is a really good offense.
They average 450 yards a game. in the modern NFL when offense is down and teams are across the league averaging 310 yards. Like, Buffalo is good. They keep winning, as we talked about this week, 26 straight games where they've won the turnover battle. Reigning MVP, who, by the way, is throwing checkdowns to and or handing the ball off to the AFC Offensive Player of the Month in James Cook. Pats are going to have their hands full just to stay in this one. I personally think that they're up to the challenge. We'll get to that in the 5 o'clock hour. But, man, this bench, this game is exactly what everyone needs to wash away the disgusting taste of last night's failure by the Red Sox and the dismal way that that thing finished, because you should be fired up for Sunday night. This is huge for the Pats.
Well, one of my takeaways from last night, Patriots related, was thank God Drake May is good right now and we're trending towards everybody loves him, because not only did the Red Sox lose and their season ends and all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's just Patriots season now for a little while until the Bruins and the Celtics start to get their feet underneath them. Not only did you have that, but it was Thursday Night Football, and Mac Jones is winning and putting up big numbers, throwing to Kendrick Bourne, and I did not and would not want to hear this, oh, should we have kept Mac and should we have kept Kendrick Bourne? No.
Belichick ruined Mac.
No, he didn't. You have a much more talented quarterback. Thank God that over the last 3 weeks it has trended toward Drake May is closer to Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts or whatever good quarterback, Lamar Jackson, than he is to the bottom of the league where you would have had to debate or question Mac Jones. Yeah. There is no debate or question. Drake May is a franchise quarterback. Mac Jones is on his third team trying to resuscitate his career and wonder what could have been had the 49ers just stayed pat at 12 and drafted him a bunch of years ago.
What? I mean, I seriously, number one, they should never be allowed to pay a quarterback ever again. They don't need to ever spend too much on a quarterback. And Brock Purdy is so lucky he got away with highway robbery at this point by playing the way he did. And two, how many times a day do you think John Lynch thinks, why did I trade all of that for Trey Lance? We could be celebrating our third Super Bowl win with Mac Jones. Dear God.
So I think that this guy thinks it's a hot take because he writes every day from the 207 on the text line, 617-779-7937, if you want to text in or join the conversation, Patriots or Red Sox. Every day he texts in with hot take, swap Marcus Jones for Pop Douglas. It's only a hot take if six rings didn't exist, whatever it was, 4 years ago, whenever Marcus Jones entered the league, and we beat the hell out of the drum. Mm. The drum is broken. Head has been thrown to the dump. We've beaten the drum for 4+ years, and some people, even inside the stadium, may not have heard it or known it. Certain offensive coordinators may have had to Google to realize that Marcus Jones had offensive potential. But is he going to get that role right now? No, and I think there's two reasons for it. First of all, Pop Douglas doesn't really play offense anymore. He's a blocker on a few plays. They have settled in at receiver without him. And more importantly, you need Marcus Jones as a punt returner, first and foremost, and as a slot corner defensive back, because you don't have a lot of depth in that area. We saw that depth get challenged when Christian Gonzalez was out of the lineup, and we're looking at Alex Austin and these guys and saying, huh, they were fun in camp, but they're not as fun in the regular season when they're getting key penalties or giving up plays. Marcus Jones is more valuable right now to the Patriots as a defensive back and a punt returner. And I don't think you can ask him to do all three with any regularity. And actually, he's tough and he's physical, and I get all of that, and he probably thinks he could shoulder the load. I don't think you could ask him to do that. That wouldn't be fair to him.
Travis Hunter is already showing you that it's extremely difficult to be the dynamic playmaker that you used to be in college in the pros. He's playing like 10 to 15 snaps on defense, a bunch on offense, and he's, you know, getting like a tackle, maybe breaking up a pass, catching a few balls, but he's certainly not lighting the world on fire. And also, you got a couple other mouths you may want to try to feed, or at least see how they feed.
Like Kyle Williams?
The Chisholms and the Kyle Williams of the world. Like, let's maybe see what they can do first before you bring Marcus Jones back.
And
to
then
the
if they suck and you get late in the year and you're in contention for something and it's kind of all hands on deck, it's a kitchen sink game, as you like to say, then maybe it's Marcus Jones in December when you're trying to steal a wild card spot. But right now, he is most valuable, as we saw last week, as a punt returner and as a defensive back. Just getting back to this game, though, in the Buffalo Bills, we took a lot of heat this week on Monday. Oh, it's just the Panthers. It's just the Panthers. So the Bills beat the Ravens on opening day. And the Ravens, we all know, may not be as good as we thought they were. Their record indicates they're not. And then, since then, in all their 30-point glory, they've played the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Saints. not exactly murderer's row in September.
The Jets, the Dolphins, and the Saints.
Yeah.
You know what that literally feels like? When Michigan opens up the season with, like, Oregon, and then they play Southwest Louisiana State, Alcorn State, and, you know, Texas, New Mexico. I mean, like, literally three bag job wrestler teams that you play in a row to tune them up before you get a decent team like the Patriots. I told you guys yesterday, it literally feels like 345 Park Avenue spent time this offseason. Okay, so the Eagles stunned the Chiefs last year. Okay, they got theirs. They're going to be around for a while. Let's get Buffalo to win this year. Let's
you
have
think
them
it's rigged?
Dude, they fly to the Central Time Zone once. They never cross the Mississippi.
You know the schedule is done like 17 years in advance, right?
Doesn't matter. I'm just
it's
saying.
It's all based on the rotation of records.
Sure, but doesn't it feel like the stars aligned for that? Put it this way. Doesn't it feel like the stars have aligned for Buffalo to do it this year and ever?
Maybe God is a Bills fan. Maybe God feels bad for them. Maybe
why he's always sad then.
God used to be a Cowboys fan. That's why they had the hole in the roof at the old stadium so he could watch the games. That was the whole theory of Cowboy Nation.
Right.
Well, you know what? If God was a Cowboys fan, he's probably sick of their crap, too, and looked for a second team or a different team.
Maybe why they're not doming the new stadium in Buffalo.
Right? And I made the argument a couple weeks ago in my three-point stance that literally everyone loves Josh Allen. Maybe correct. God loves Josh Allen.
It's hard. He's a hard guy not to love.
Bring it all together. 617-779-7937. Back to the Boston Red Sox for today, because today is literally the start of the offseason. We'll save the big picture stuff for next week and down the road. But right now, we need to recap and relive that hideous baseball game last night. They couldn't hit. They struck out a lot. They put poor Connelly Early in a bad spot. They couldn't play defense. They didn't score. And their season is over. Who do you blame? What are your thoughts on that horrible baseball game at Yankee Stadium? 617-779-7937. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
We didn't play defense. The pop-up drops, he's a double. Then we walk. There's a walk. And, you know, they didn't hit the ball hard, but they found holes. And, you know, it just happened fast. You know, the kid did a good job. He threw the ball well. He induced them to weak contact. You know, but it just didn't happen for us tonight.
No, it did not, Alex Cora. And they found holes in a Swiss cheese defense. And it was infuriating, and I'm not even Connelly Early. Because that kid has to have a little regret. He was doing his best to keep pace with Cam Schlittler, who went out there and had one of the greatest performances you'll ever see by any pitcher, never mind a 23-year-old in his rookie season. But that was it was frustrating, and it was frustrating offensively. Our guy Dan Ball Fitzy here on WEEI Afternoons had a great stat that he put in the rundown. It's ranking the OPS of a visiting left-handed batter at Yankee Stadium in the regular/postseason minimum of 100 plate appearances. And there are 377 batters that qualify for this list. And the highest OPS is Justin Morneau, the former twin, 1.136 OPS. You want to guess where Jarren Duran ranks on this list of 377 batters?
I don't know, probably like 280.
You are way too high. That would be 371. He's a half dozen shy of being at the bottom of the list. He has a
holy smokes
487 OPS at Yankee Stadium, playoffs, regular and postseason. That's a 101 at-bats, zero home runs, four RBI, 33 strikeouts, a 178 average, and a 487 OPS. And so those of you that believed that he was going to fight back, come back, make good, whatever you thought was going to happen yesterday.
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert. Not a spoiler anymore. It happened on national TV at 8:08 last night for the next 3 hours. He did not. He stunk. And he might be done with the Boston Red Sox. You may never see him in a Red Sox uniform again.
For somebody who could very well have been and may soon be the centerpiece of a trade, who's looking for that next, if not one, big contract, that's not the postseason you want.
Nope.
Going into a pivotal year for him like that. And real quick, I just need to peek my head behind the curtain of the stats, info, and nerd department. What does FIP stand for?
That would be a Dan Ball question, and I have no idea the answer to that because he seems like he is busy behind the glass. But we'll get back to that later on in the show.
I'm gonna need a FIP definition.
Let's get to the phone call, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Paul in Providence. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We've been better. We could be preparing for the Blue Jays. Instead, it's the offseason.
I hear you. I want to start off first and foremost. I am a Yankees fan.
Boo.
However, I do love the rival between the Red Sox and the Yankees. But let me tell you something. Listening to Lou yesterday on your show, and I listen to him all the time, he is one of the most intelligent speakers of baseball I know. And I can only see the Red Sox benefit by having a guy on their staff like Lou, even as a head coach. I mean, the guy is just knowledgeable. He knows what he's talking about. He knows offense. He knows defense. Like, I would love to see, as a Yankees fan, I would love to see Lou Maloney advance to the manager of the Red Sox.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Lou Maloney, potential manager of the Boston Red Sox. Dan Ball, when you bump Alex Cora up to the front office,
yeah,
is this a possibility? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes about as much sense as a Jason Varitek or somebody else without any experience. I mean, Varitek and Andrew Bailey have been in the dugout, but nobody knows the inner workings of the Red Sox better outside of the staff than Lou Maloney right now.
I got to tell you, I could not ask for anything more than angry Lou after a bad series.
Can you imagine you guys get him every single week to talk to?
We can talk to angry Lou?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be phenomenal.
Lou managing the Red Sox has the same chance of the Red Sox suddenly finding themselves back in the postseason.
What does that
he
mean?
Loves his life.
Oh,
he loves
that, yeah,
like
no.
0% chance. Yeah,
well, I don't say 0% chance. I think 0% chance right now. Depending down the road, his kid's in high school. If he were to age out a little bit and things change in the personal life, I could see it a little bit down the road.
And look at the money Cora just got.
I was going to say, and Lou'd also be crazy. He'd make more money as the manager than he ever made as a player.
Yeah, but Alex Cora is aging like a presidential photo, thanks to...
So you sign one four-year, $28 million deal, and if it doesn't go well, I got $28 million in the bank. Dan Ball.
While we're on the topic, I mean, are we expecting any changes, either coaching staff or front office, after the way the season has gone?
I am not. I know mid-season, it was sort of all in that Andrew Bailey had to go. That never came to fruition, and if anything... Suddenly, a team that's never developed a single young pitcher was developing pitchers at a record rate out of necessity and
lefties
throwing them out
flying
there
off the shelves in Worcester.
So, you know, Kyle Hudson, if you wanted to do that reactionary style firing, Kyle Hudson certainly failed you in the postseason with the Nate Eaton call. But I think he has a pretty good relationship with our guy, Alex Cora. I don't think Kyle Hudson's going to get run. No, I don't expect anybody that we take note of to get run out of town. I mean, that gets into the discussion we're going to get more into next week. This was a successful season for your Boston Red Sox. Former non-playoff last-place baseball team went to the wild card and should have won the wild card series. If Nate Eaton runs full speed, I think they win the wild card series, and we're not having any of this discussion about whether it was or wasn't a successful season because everybody would agree. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Richard in Salisbury. What's up, Richard?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey, so-so.
Hey, I've been listening since this morning with Greg Hill and those guys. Nobody's really talked about the front office taking any type of blame for this series or the ownership and stuff, you know? I mean, we throw a 23-year-old rookie into this important game 30 days after he made his debut. I mean, why couldn't we have gotten something like we've been talking about for a while now at the trade deadline? I mean, look where we are.
Thanks for the call, Richard. Yes. You know who would have looked nice on the mound in a decisive game three? Even though he
rhymes
probably...
with Schmo Nyan.
Yes.
Shut up, Richard.
Brezbot not happy. Yeah, those are big picture conversations that need to be had. Now, it would also, the team would have been better suited had it not fallen off the wheels health-wise. Like, and that's where I don't necessarily know that I want to fully defend Breslow. But if Roman Anthony is still playing for this team, they're a much better baseball team. If Lucas Giolito isn't hurt, and Dan Ball's making mimicking faces back there, so I'm going to call Dan Ball out. What are you saying back there, Mr. Mimicky?
Nothing. I was just waiting for you to go, and if my grandma, blah, blah, blah. I keep waiting for that.
And there's some truth to that, and I'd also argue that if you have Joe Ryan, then everybody else gets bumped down a spot. So you have more depth, obviously, and you're not leaning on these young guys that you're throwing into the crucible.
I mean, the fact that you didn't add an impact bat to the middle of all this as well is crazy. I know you got Nathaniel Lowe. That's a nice ad.
Nate Lowe!
That's a nice ad. That's not an impact bat.
That's not
Josh Naylor. That's not somebody that changes a series.
He was also an impact glove, but an impact in the negative direction by booting a ball at first base.
Yes, impact on the outfield grass is what that ball had.
I thought he was supposed to be pretty good at first base.
He is, except for that one play where it mattered most.
Except when your season's on the line and it's not exactly the hardest play you're ever going to see. That was the other frustrating thing last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you could probably argue Duran's diving, whatever, might have been more difficult than any of the plays they had to make last night. Romy Gonzalez, you going to tell me David Hamilton wouldn't have gotten to that ball?
Oh, enough with the David Hamilton.
Bet you David Hamilton gets to that ball.
I thought
and
that
they still lose.
Thank you, Dan Ball.
They still lose.
And I knew you were going to say it today, too. I thought the exact same thing when I saw it. He's definitely banged up. There's something going on. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
He strained or pulled his XYZ because he gets to that.
Not his XYZ.
11 times out of 10.
The manager, Lou Maloney, kind of inferred that. Will Fleming kind of inferred that Romy Gonzalez is dealing. But that would be an argument for me to put maybe the healthy guy out there that can give you the range that his athleticism and speed would allow. 617-779-7937. Recapping, reliving, unfortunately, the loss that was last night. The offensive reality check. This just in, your lineup's not that good. This just in, you can't get clutch hits. This just in, you strike out a lot. Huh. Seems like something we saw for big chunks of the regular season, and they reared their ugly head last night. Yankees advance. Red Sox are in the offseason, and we're on to the 3 o'clock hour where it's time for a three-point stance where Fitzy, like me, says the quarterback can't be the be-all, end-all story of this game. But he's not talking about Josh Allen. I think he's talking about Drake May. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.